Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And then if we could turn to John chapter 10. Hebrews 11, 6. And then John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verses John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:28-29. Wonderful promises there of our security in Christ. Amen. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll read that once again. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight we're looking at the topic, pray and praise, do not doubt and pout. Okay, pray and praise, do not doubt and pout. So we need to have faith. That's what pleases God, is faith. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, and we'll look at a good example of what we should do. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel at the time, and he was facing a great problem. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. So it says there that a great multitude was coming against Jehoshaphat. So those were troubling words. What would he do? Well, he set himself to seek God. Notice in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to what? Seek the Lord. So his first response is to call people to come and seek the Lord with him. And thankfully, Israel at this time did not mock him for that, because in Hezekiah's day, they did. If you hold your place here, turn with me to chapter 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 6. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 6. Now, I believe it was the Senate. I don't know. I think it was last night. The Senate passed a bill about recognizing sodomite marriages, and it's sad. I just wish America would come to their knees before God instead of making horrible bills like that. But we need to pray for our leaders. But 2 Chronicles 30, verse 6. The Bible says, so the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if ye return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they what? Laughed them to scorn, and what? Mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. So Hezekiah is calling the people to come and observe the Passover. And what did they do? He's pleading with them to come and return unto God. And what do? They scoff at him and mock him. Now, verse 12, Judah listens to him, but the rest of Israel does not, other than various ones. So, but back to 2 Chronicles 20, thankfully, Judah listened this time to Jehoshaphat. And we pick up now in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have what? No might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what? What to do, but our eyes are what? Upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So Jehoshaphat didn't stand up in pride and say, oh, you know, bring it on. No, he said, we have no might, God. We don't know what to do. And beside that, he was drawing nigh to him. You know, when an enemy is coming at you, is it a good time to be weak? But what did he call his people to do? He called them to fast and pray. When we fast, we're weak. Now, humanly speaking, you'd say, well, what a horrible time to fast. I mean, you need everyone to be as strong as possible. An enemy is coming. But no, Jehoshaphat was acknowledging, Lord, we have no might. That's what he said in verse 12. He said, the second phrase there in verse 12, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. And you know, God is ready to draw nigh to those who admit their weakness, that we have no strength without Him. Notice in James 4, James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8. The Bible says in James 4, 8, draw nigh to God and He will what? Draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And then what does verse 10 say? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall what? Lift you up. So our greatest strength is when we realize our own weakness and come before God and acknowledge Him. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. So God answers, they humble themselves before God. Draw nigh to God and He will what? Draw nigh to you. That's exactly what happened. Jehoshaphat is leading the people to draw nigh to God. And here comes God through His prophet. Verse 14. 2 Chronicles 20, 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came who? The Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be what? Not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is what? Not yours, but whose? God's. God acknowledges here, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by the reason of this great multitude. God acknowledges it's a great multitude. But that's of no concern because the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, it's still the same today. Sometimes, you know, in our zeal to get the gospel out, sometimes sinners reject us. And I had a man today reject a gospel tract. And, you know, in the flesh, that's discouraging when someone rejects the gospel message. But the battle is not ours. It's God's. Verse 16. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to what? Fight in this battle. And that's what he's telling them to do. Set yourselves, and then what? Stand ye still, and see what? The salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. For who? The Lord will be with you. So, they did what the Bible tells us to do, to humble ourselves before God, and He will lift us up. And that's exactly what they did. Now, at this point, this is, you know, when God gives us instruction like this, that's not the time to doubt and pout. You know, Jehoshaphat didn't say, wait a minute, God. A great multitude is coming against us. They outnumber us. And secondly, God, we don't have the weapons they do. And thirdly, it seems mighty foolish to me when we haven't been practicing war and we haven't made plans against this multitude that's coming, this great multitude that's coming against us, without weapons, without practice, without a plan how to face them. It'd be foolish to go down and meet them. If we stay here, we might have a few more days before we engage the battle. That's just doubting and pouting. And Jehoshaphat didn't do that. Why? Well, because once again, verse 15 there. Verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is what? Not yours, but whose? God's." That's why they didn't doubt and pout. God made it clear, it's not your battle. In verse 17, he says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." They weren't going to need any weapons. They weren't going to need a plan, because this was God's battle, not theirs. So they did not doubt and pout. What did they do? Verse 18. 2 Chronicles 20:18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." You know, someone has to set the tone, the mood, the response. And who was it here? Who was the first one that bowed with his face to the ground? It was King Jehoshaphat did it. And you may say, well, I'm not a king. Well, I'm not either. And you may say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, you know what? It does not matter. I remember when I was working at a factory that God was just gripping my heart to witness to the people. And so I started carrying my Bible. I started getting gospel tracts. I asked my boss if I could put up a track rack at in the lunchroom at work. And he said I could. So I did those things, and what I found there were two Christian men that were my senior. They were older than I, working at the shop there with me, and I saw God work in their hearts and make them bold because I was willing to step out. So you may say, well, I'm not the oldest in the group. It doesn't matter. When God moves in our hearts, we just need to obey. Was David the oldest among his brothers? What was he? The youngest. And yet God moved and used him. Was Moses the oldest among his siblings? What was he? The youngest. His sister Miriam was older than him. His brother Aaron was 3 years older than him. He was the youngest. So, you know, if God lights a fire in our hearts, it doesn't matter if we're the oldest or the youngest. Let's just burn for Christ. Let's let our light shine. And it will inspire others. It doesn't matter their age. It will inspire others when we become a light for Christ. So what started out as a problem here, just an insurmountable problem, turns into plenteous bounty. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:25. 2 Chronicles 20:25. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them," and actually, I guess I skipped some sections here that, yeah, we better back up. I jumped ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 18, which we read, and then verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now, is that normally a good thing when you're marching toward the enemy? Is it normally a good thing to be really loud and noisy, you know, so they know you're coming? No, it's kind of like when you're out deer hunting. I mean, the normal thing is not to go chomping through the woods and break every twig and branch you can and, you know, just making all the noise you can. That's normally not what you try to do. But here they were praising God with a loud voice on high. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." And what does he tell them to do? Believe in the Lord your God. It goes right back to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. He said, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Singers. Is that a scribal error? I mean, shouldn't that be slingers? I mean, didn't David use a sling against Goliath? No, that's not a scribal error. He appointed singers, not slingers, not stone slingers, unto the Lord, and that should praise the what? Beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, these singers, verse 21, where were they? Were they in front of the army or behind the army? Somebody said it. They are in front of the army. It said they, as they went out before the army. You know, normally you would think, well, you better put the singers behind the army. The army can protect them. No, the singers that were praising God were in front of the army. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So, what seemed to be an insurmountable problem, and I don't know what you faced this week, maybe you're facing some things right now that in their own way seem like they're insurmountable problems. That's what Jehoshaphat and Israel faced right here in Judah in particular. But what it ended up, because they humbled themselves before God and praised God instead of pouting and doubting, they prayed and praised God. And because of that, verse 25, now we can read that verse. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were what? 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. So what seemed like an insurmountable problem was actually a treasure. 3 days they were carrying away, verse 25, riches, precious jewels. It was more than they could carry away. It took them 3 days going back and forth to gather the riches. You know, the problems that we face in life, if we will pray to God for wisdom what to do like they did and praise God, it can turn out to be something greatly precious and rewarding in our lives, if we will just trust him. The very things in life, and I have faced so many of these, it just seems like, but God, if I follow the Bible, I'm going to be the loser. That's what it often seems like, but that is not the case. Look in Mark 8, Mark chapter 8. But we have to be of the mind where we understand this and be willing to lose all, because God greatly blesses. In Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall what? Save it. But each time something comes up and it seems like, but God, if I do what you say in the Bible, I'm going to be the loser. I'm going to be harmed in this way or that way. But it's always worth it to do it God's way. He has a treasure waiting. Like we saw Sunday, He has a treasure waiting for us when we follow His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, I don't know all the trials and the troubles that each one tonight is facing, but You do. And Lord, some of those problems may seem so great that there's just no way to make it through. And yet we've seen tonight that if we will draw nigh to You and humble ourselves, that You will show us what to do. Like You did King Jehoshaphat. You sent Your word. You told him that the battle was Yours. And You told him in this battle, they were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Father, we look to You. We humble ourselves before You. Lord, we long to see a great awakening, a great revival. We long for people to receive You as Savior, to repent of their sins, and to follow You. Lord, please have Your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.